Meeting will come to order. We are now having the Port of Astoria Board of Commissioners workshop session of July 15th. We have the roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Present.
Commissioner Fickle.
Here.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Roan.
Here. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 minutes regarding any topic in person. Those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. Those participating via Zoom may raise their hand during the public comment period. Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar, which consists of May 2025 financial. Are there questions for the finance director in general? Any questions, comments? We'll take a motion to approve the financials.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. That calendar is approved. Under the action section on page 11, we have a letter of engagement for the audit firm for Talbot, Carvela, and Warwick. Okay. Commissioner Stevens would like me to ask if there are any changes or additions to the agenda. Are there any additions or changes to the agenda? I did miss that, so. So page 11, our audit firm, the executive director, you want to?
Sure, we have Melanie Howard here to introduce this topic.
So on page 11 is packet, is an engagement letter.
I think it's about 8 years. I think so.
This engagement letter is presented to the commission. Commission is essentially the one that hires the audit firm. They're going to come in next week, two on-site audits, and then usually they'll present to the commission in December with their audit results. So this is pretty standard language. It's similar to the agreement that was presented last year. The fee is $54,700, which is up about $3,000 from what it was last year, which is again pretty standard. Are there any questions about the agreement? Okay, so I just ask for a motion to approve the agreement with TKW.
Move.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Good. Commissioner Stevens, the second. The motion is to approve a letter of engagement for the audit firm Talbot, Carvela, and Warwick LLP. Are there any additional questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion is approved. Our next item is the BRC treatability study phase one, change order, and closeout. I don't know, Deputy Director, you want to introduce that?
The thing. Well, yeah, phase one of the treatability study is now complete. This goes back to, you know, last year when we started this. This will be change order number two that we're looking at. And this is basically work that Aquaterra Consultants had to do that was not expected when the scope of work was initially done. DEQ required some different sampling. Some additional sampling, and then one of the other things that was the primary reason for the change order was no one really had considered sampling or the work that needed to be done for CRAP. So we looked at TRIP, we looked at other things, but we did not look at doing the CRAP. So that's the additional work that is done here. So with that, I wanted to have Alan just get up and give a brief rundown of phase one, the results, close out, and what he might think about potential for phase two. Working fine. Okay.
Back connected, it looks like, but the presentation's not. Right. It's
my presentation.
It was working fine when we were watching Seinfeld before the meeting.
There we go.
There we go.
There, can't see any. So this is just a wrap up on the Bipartisan Government Center's Treatability Study. Next slide, please. So the phase one treatability study, phase one objectives were successfully completed, as well as part of the phase two feasibility study. I started sooner last year for this year because of DEQ's permitting schedule. I need to have some answers by this summer to prevent DEQ from making huge mistakes out there. So I went ahead on my own initiative and said, I'll do it. Thankfully, you're paying some of the other all of it. Or the part that I did. DEQ is requiring Bornstein to install a dissolved air filtration system to treat their wastewater as soon as possible. You spend millions of dollars on a treatment system that will be useless if the DRC comes to fruition, but they're forcing Bornstein to put it in anyway. Once they put invest millions in that treatment system, the DRC will have less value. If fish plants are required to spend millions on treatment equipment, DRC will be too late. So they hang down the chopping blocks down, they're applying for their permit. If they force Day Yang to put in a treatment system, I think we'll put in the one I worked on, but it's still gonna cost them a lot of money. So when the PRC is finding fish in 2 years, 3 years, these plants will have made millions to treat them off water. So it'll be less valuable for the PRC. That's why I wanted to get as much information as soon as I could. The DEQ said, look, you're making a mistake here. Stop what you're doing. We're not killing anybody with wastewater discharging. We know we have the best answer. Now, laws are laws, rules are rules, they don't care. Next slide, please. Oh, that's not your phase two treatability study. Phase two must be done this summer or risk the future of DRC. So, securing funding is currently more challenging. So, I've decided Aquaterra is going to self fund this thing and proceed with phase two. I can't let this thing go. So, I bought the equipment I need, I'm having it installed now. And we'll run it this summer. Because if we don't do this summer, the opportunity to disappear to the DRC. Next slide, please. So the project recap, all the objectives were met and exceeded, I think. No outstanding invoices beyond the change order presented today. I want to say we appreciate the opportunity to work with the Florida Lessoria commissioners and staff. It was a difficult project, but I appreciate your support.
I assume you're working closely with the DeYang and Bornstein.
Yes.
Through this whole, what you just shared with us, they probably know.
Yeah.
That and more.
The Baron SLR does Bornstein, I do DeYang, and they share information back and forth. So everybody's aware of this. But Bornstein's kind of locked in. And DeYang, I still have a chance. If I can do an interim and get some data this summer before they issue the draft permit like in August, I might have a possibility of saying, well, why don't you delay the Yang system until the PRC breaks? Because the PRC makes a lot of sense if you have three plants that don't have any treatment. Well, fine, don't bother buying them. They just hook up to ours. But if you have a whole treatment system in your plant, why would you? What's the only benefit? They won't have a permit anymore. They'll own the permit. But the cost, I don't think they'll save any money. They'll save you money by pre-treating their water, but it's going to be expensive to do it. But they'll still have a capital investment in equipment they don't need. So there's nothing we can do about Morse today. They're way behind. There's no delay at all. Yeah, I still think I have a chance to keep the door open. So if Morse has a dam and Day Yang doesn't have one, if they put my system in, my system could be moved from their plant to the BRC. Because the plant that is designed for the BRC is multiple units in my system. So Day Yang has one, you just buy it back from them, some kind of negotiation. Move the facility into the new BRC. The DAF, unfortunately, produces toxic sludge. There's nothing we can do with toxic sludge in landfill. My system produces sludge that we can recycle into compost or animal feeds. I think it's better for the port to have a system that produces byproducts than stuff that's grown in landfill.
I got a question for our administration. Is there some political contact, the governor's office, that can help? Appreciate the information that we've
been working with the governor's office on this. With the byproduct recovery center, I think it's important as well, is that even though Bornstein is being pushed down the DAF road, which is this construction you see across the road right now, is that we've looked at the capacity for the BRC to handle that, even everything that's coming from the DAF system, from DeYang, and even from Schooler. So the potential is there through phase one and phase two, if we get the BRC rolling, is to roll all that in, because, you know, we're looking to do what the port is supposed to do on its mission, is to be an economic driver and to do it in an environmentally sustainable way. This is accomplishing that. We're trying to work with DEQ, which is, you know, not the easiest thing to do. But what we want to get out of the BRC is to be able to treat all of the seafood water and use it and not relegate it to a toxic sludge. But we have been working with the governor's office on this.
Can you give me what a DAF is?
What's that?
DAF, the acronym exactly.
A dissolved air flotation.
Dissolved air flotation.
Flotation, correct. It basically creates a bunch of small bubbles that attach.
I remember the concept. I just couldn't remember what the acronym exactly was for. And who is Abby? Oh, okay. I knew who Alan was. I just couldn't remember who Abby was.
Just myself. Hi, I'm Alan. This
is. I don't. Okay.
What are we going to do about the stink?
No stink.
No stink.
The BRC?
No, the smell that comes from.
If you put my system in, it's all vented, ozonated and vented. The one common pipe through the roof. And the by system, we keep the water moving all the time, not stagnant in big tanks where they can go out and run. You'll have no smell.
You guarantee that?
I guarantee that.
Is the quantity that's going to be going through there?
Sorry?
Was the quantity of water that's going to be passing through there?
2.2 million gallons a day.
How many?
2.2 million on the high side.
Okay.
What I've done is I've created modules of 200 gallons a minute. So I put 10 modules for 2,000, but each module operates the same, just add more modules. So we're never out of capacity. And they're more cost effective than a dam. We don't use the same chemicals to dissolve their flotation. The solid flotation needs polyacrylamides, chemical that clumps the solids together. We don't need that. It's very fine solids. We're floating them through a tower. They're breaking them across a big box. It's a radical design. We've got four patents on this in Canada and the US. It's sort of a radical departure from traditional treatment. They go, wow, that really is the difference. Let's see how it works. So this summer, I'm going to have it running. I've got a number of companies who want to come in and see what it looks like. So I've got your system designed with my assisted by my equipment, and that's phase one. It works. I got all the calculations done, the space required, and I'm also working on making sure we have blankets for the recovery life product. We sent some samples of the foam that we recovered last year to a composting operation. I said, looks good. So we want to look at possibly animal feed, maybe. So we want to broaden the market so you're not stuck with a system that produces tons of junk and you didn't know where to put it. And I can't divulge that. We're looking to work with people. We're looping through the seafood industry in multiple ways, including symbiosis.
Sure. And I think it's also important to remember that we're doing this as a support for the seafood processors. I mean, ATC, they have put in over $500,000 of their own money and counting, working on scope on the phase two. Deang has put in over $1 million of their own money to try to solve this problem. So we're just, we're not late to the party, but we're trying to support this so that we can come up with a long-term solution to these processing challenges.
The thing that hurts me most is I applied for Deang's permit in 2015. We're now 2025, oh, 10 years. They didn't issue it now, they got a brand through. You didn't tell anybody the last 10 years, why can't you write another two? But common sense and DEQ are two different places. Oh, it's just on the record. Interesting.
Microphone's on, yes. I wish you all the best. I think we all do. And I think it's extraordinary, unfortunate, unnecessary resistance.
In what way is phase two self-funded?
My bank account. Mm-hmm. We're the labor, the professional consultant that's asking me, they're not going to charge anybody unless I can figure out. The problem is the BRC benefits more than one party. So if I knew that the day Ang was in, for sure, and Bornstein for sure, then I could say, look, guys, this is for you, so let's split it. But up until now, Bornstein hasn't put anything into this directly. Day Yang's been subsidizing this for a couple of years, and now I'm taking on my own. But ideally, if Bornstein go to the BRC, if they are, they should pay. I'll contribute now. So it's been a little unfair. We just sort of skated through it. We started getting Bornstein samples, Day Yang samples. But Day Yang, I've been doing stuff at Day Yang for the last number of years, preliminary to the test, other testing, auditing their plant, because they want to get to the right place. So it's kind of messy, but pivot and get there and meet the goals.
One other question. It looks like the cost overruns started in April of 2024. When were the staff aware of that?
We were aware early. So you're looking at January when we had the first change order. So this is change order number two. And so a lot of the original change order was based on the additional work that Alan and Abby were doing to accommodate the Danish folks when they were here. So we put some additional work into that. So we did a real holistic presentation for them. But then this additional work, we just didn't have the information from Alan until he got through all of the testing. And so we just got those invoices in the last several months.
So I think it's important to note too that, and I've been pretty clear about this, that I do think that there's a real opportunity here. However, given the resource constraints of the port, this obviously isn't something that we can self-fund from start to finish. And that's not the idea. The whole idea here was to really consolidate things, to get things under one permit, to maybe bring the overall cost down. But for the port itself, we had committed to getting the phase one moving. We had solicited quite a bit of help from the state. Even this change order that we have on the agenda tonight, $20,000 of that is being paid through Northwest Oregon Works. And then the majority of the phase one was actually funded through the state with the port subsidizing kind of the delta between total cost and the money we had received. But now, as Alan points out, part of the challenge is looking at the timing of things and how the dominoes are falling and trying to work with DEQ and from the processor's perspective of being required now to put all this money into another system probably gives them some hesitancy to really fund two systems at the same time. But the reality is this isn't something that the port can continue to fund at a high level moving forward. That wasn't the idea. We offer sort of a conduit to get a lot of that state support. We're also a conduit when it comes to the permitting and regulation side of things that I think we can be really helpful. And so I think we've done a good job so far in getting it to this point. And now we're going to have to see how this moves forward, but it can't be the port continuing to write checks.
Okay, so
can I ask a question?
Please.
What is the worst case scenario for the port in this? That the Yang doesn't get, that Yang has to put in a DAF as well, and then we,
Worst case scenario is you'll have to offer the permittees an attractive package for them to send their wastewater to your VOC. They've already had one system, they already paid for it. So you have to find some way to say, well, normally we charge you pick a number, 40 cents a gallon to treat, we're only charge you 30 because you're already pre-treating it. So it might be, have to work that out or some other thing to incentivize.
Yeah, and I think if we zoom out a little bit, one of the things that's important for the port, because of the importance of Pier 2 and the significant impact it has, not only with the processors themselves, but just all of the economy that surrounds Pier 2, which is of huge benefit to the port. It's of huge benefit to the community. And so part of this is us trying to support our tenants to try to make it as easy as possible to do business here. And I think you've seen over the years in the processing industry, so much consolidation. I mean, Bornstein's a great example of that, but they decided to consolidate into Astoria and close down some of their other areas of processing. And I think for us, it's important to keep them here. And so I think a lot of the benefit to the port is, you know, how do we make this as the best place possible for them to be able to continue operating while meeting stricter and stricter regulation. And two, with the way the port's set up and the relationships we have, and I think you saw that kind of through phase one, we can be helpful in that process rather than having the processors try to go it alone. You know, there's some economies of scale by combining the port and the processors to get some of these things done. And so I would hope that ultimately this thing would move forward. And again, I don't know the specific risk. I just know the importance of Pier 2, the importance of those processors, and anything we can do to support that, I think, is in our best interest.
One last thought that I could. DEQ wants us to use the best available technology to clean the water. Granted, our system is better than that. So I'm going to confront them and say, look, for day A, I want to put the AFS system. Why? Because it reduces the organic material by 80%, kills the bacteria, and produces a usable sludge. DAF can't do that. So I want DEQ to be cornered and say, no, don't use best available technology, or we don't understand it. This Clean Water Act says you must use best available technology. If I can pull that off of DEQ, then they may have to say, well, Bornstein's put in the wrong technology. How are you going to fix it? It's on you. And stop putting those in. There's a lot of angles to this. It's complicated, but I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for your hard work. I think I understand it correctly. I think you're really doing something extraordinary, and it's it would be great if we could get it to the finish line. So there is a motion on the provided. If someone would like to make the motion,
Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner Stevens,
I do. As I understand it, we're not really phasing out the project. We're closing out the phase. So I maybe we want to pin underneath that a little bit. It's been my recommendation.
There's a motion to approve the change order number 2 in the amount of $43,000 reimburse Aquaterra Consultants for services rendered during phase 1 and to close out the project. That's the motion I'm looking for.
You want to phase out the project?
Well, as I understand it, now it's going to give us $20,000 of that back.
Correct. Northwest Oregon Works has committed $20,000.
Someone make that motion?
I'll make this.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
And a second. Are there other additional questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion passes. Our next item, Executive Director, you want to deal with the next item, please?
I can do that. So, Commissioners, if you turn to page 27 of your packet, you'll see a draft resolution in support of the Tongue Point Job Corps Center. So a little bit of kind of the backstory on how this came about. Shortly after the closure of Job Corps was announced, a group of local organizations, you know, Job Corps kind of hits two broad categories of both education as well as sort of economic development through their job training. And so the port, along with leadership from Clatsop County, City of Astoria, Clatsop Community College, and then some of the local school districts got together to kind of talk about a plan and what we might be able to do to advocate for that facility. As a part of that meeting, we actually had the director of Tongue Point was there and gave a pretty eye-opening presentation just on some of the raw numbers and the impacts that this closure could have. And I think the local Job Corps here is unique in being its size for such a small town. In particular, they're probably two most successful programs, their seamanship program, along with their nursing program, have a huge impact here locally. And then two, the director kind of outlined some of the stories of what the negative impacts of the closure will mean, not only for the employees, but especially for those students who may not have a lot of other options, to where Tongue Point was kind of their lifeline here to get some job training. It was also interesting hearing his perspective on even some of the data that's been thrown out there in terms of success rates and graduation rates and kind of the cost of training. And I think there's some frustration on the Job Corps' end and how some of those things get presented. For instance, when they talk about the program graduation rates, he said often what happens, especially like in their seamanship programs, is folks will get offered a job before they've completed the program. And so they leave for that job. And so then that gets counted against the Job Corps facility in terms of their graduation rate. But the only reason the person left is that they were offered a job in the field that they were studying. And so I know here recently, I think the City of Astoria had this on their agenda last night for a similar resolution in support. This resolution actually was originally drafted by Clatsop County, who had approved a similar resolution. Like I said, Clatsop Community College is also doing something. And then locally, I know that both the Astoria and Napa school districts have either are approving or have approved a similar resolution. And I think with these things, there could be some power in numbers of having a number of local organizations, again, both on the education side and on the economic development side, offering letters of support for kind of what that facility means to our community. And hoping to have it open in the future. And so with these kind of things, sort of outside the walls of day-to-day port operations, I kind of think it's my job to present something to the commission, and then the commission can kind of decide if this is something we want to take up as a group to offer our support.
Oh, to just to further elaborate, the resolution is a resolution expressing continued support for the Tongue Point Job Corps Center and recognizing its vital role in workforce development, community impact. And we're all looking at a resolution, whereas is repeated seven times, but I want to read the second. The center provides education and career technical training to young people 16 through 24, equipping them with the skills necessary to succeed in a variety of industries, including maritime trades, welding, automotive, construction, and healthcare. So these general people are qualifying as being an at-risk, and you're taking these people and you're giving them valuable skills, and they're becoming productive and leading good lives. I think it doesn't cost anything for the port. All we are doing is trying to create that critical mass of community support to help continue to bring federal dollars into our community, which supports the whole program, which and all the people involved making a living there, working there, all their careers, all the professional people that do the education. So that's the way I see it. Are there other commissioners have questions or comments?
I would like to say that there's no question that the Tongue Point, along with all Job Corps, is a large, large federal bureaucracy. And we know what's going on in the country right now. They aren't perfect. The kids are perfect in their own way, and I root for them. I hired somebody out of the Tongue Point in my business, and he was phenomenal. And I was just so proud to see that he built that system. However, there's politics involved here, and as pretty as the presentation might have been that you attended, they didn't cover the things that need to change. And so to present this piece of paper, we kind of enter into a political world. And I'm not sure the commission should do that. I support Tongue Points coming back. I'm a strong supporter of it coming back, and it might do it on its own because the basics are good, but changes should be identified. And without that, it's the can down the road again. So that's where I stand. I'm not sure that I'll say don't send it, but maybe a little more work on that thing somehow might help. What's going to change?
Commissioner Fickle?
I feel like sometimes you have to make a decision to support something that you believe in, regardless of the politics of it or what it looks like. Personally, I, without signing my name to this document, I agree with all of these things. And to be honest, I did not know a lot about Job Corps before this issue came up. And since then, I have learned more about it, and I see the deleterious impact to our community by the elimination of this valuable program. And so I support it, and I would be proud to put my name on this resolution. Somebody used the word critical mass. Was that you? Yeah, critical mass. If you support it, you should stand up and raise your hand to support it, regardless of what the politics might be.
Commissioner Stevens.
Well, I share Commissioner Hill's concern. Let me explain. The Port Commission is not a political body. The County Commission is, and the city is. And I do support the Job Corps Center. I've worked with them when I was still in the Coast Guard. And then again, when I was in pursuit of my merchant marine license. They're a good outfit. I can write my congresswoman and tell her what I think if I want to take a stand. In fact, at the town hall that she held for elected officials, I did side with the people that were supporting the Job Corps Center, and I said so. That was my contribution. I can't see the commission as a body entering what is right there as a political issue. It's kind of inappropriate for the Port Commissioner as a body to do that. But I have difficulty supporting this resolution. Thank you.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yeah, I'm kind of along those lines myself because I've had a little bit of experience with the Marine Department out there. I've hired over a period of time six of the students that are supposed to be coming down there knowing what to do, and quite frankly, none of them lasted a week. So that brings me to another subject, and in all reality, it costs $80,000 a year to put those kids in that school out there. You can put them in a good college or good trade school for a hell of a lot less than that. There is 2 employees for every 3 students out there. That has to be mismanagement, in my opinion. So, therefore, I could not endorse his letter.
Just wanted to ask a clarifying question. Was Cedar involved in this? Kevin Leahy in particular?
Leahy is involved. He has a number of job titles, so I don't know officially under which banner he's involved, but I know that he's been working close with Don Boone at the county. And I would assume probably involved actually with drafting this resolution. Don had sent it over to me, but I know that Kevin has been involved as well.
Y'all are aware we're part of Cedar, which is Clatsop Economic Development Resource. I'm kind of approaching this with my time that I had on the Clatsop Community College Board. And so in that world, it was really, we were all supportive of education in our community, vocational education in particular. This isn't costing the port a dime. Administration has been a little bit like a monkey on meth, so I don't think it's detrimental. A lot of programs that have thrown the baby out with the bath water. You fire all the nuclear oversight, and you realize that we need some of them back, so they hire them back. This decision ultimately will not, you know, hinge on our supporting it, but playing well with others is something I think is important for the Port of Astoria, working with Clatsop Community College, the county. I don't think this is overtly political, supporting education opportunities in the technical fields. In particular with the port, we are an advocate for all things maritime, in my opinion. And here we are. I actually have a friend who's an instructor out there on the maritime program and would share many political sentiments that maybe driving a no vote on this. But I believe in the work that he does, and I'm sure he does as well. So, but I think we've all said our piece, so I'd like to have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hill.
Nay. Motion.
We have it. Is there a motion? The motion would be to approve resolution 2025-08 expressing continued support for the Tongue Point Job Corps Center and recognizing its vital role in workforce development and community impact.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. Move to a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Nay.
Commissioner Fickle.
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens.
No.
Commissioner Campbell?
No.
And Commissioner Roan?
I'll vote yes. So the motion fails. 3-2. Our next item is something a little less exciting, updating bank signers on page 29. Finance Director?
Very straightforward. Whenever there's a change on the commission, updated bank signers to reflect Commissioner Fickle and Spence, who also like to add an addition to that. So the bank does require the commission presented and approved.
Okay, so our motion is...
Who are we taking off?
The motion is to update check signers at Lewis and Clark Bank to remove Frank Spence as a signer and add new commissioner Thaddeus Fickle as well as deputy director Matt McGrath as signers.
What are we taking off on the staff?
We're not taking anybody off.
We are.
We're taking Frank Spence.
There's another one on here too. That has been on. One or two.
What's the question?
Signer.
He's saying that we're taking off staff signers, is what I'm hearing Commissioner Campbell say.
Who?
The existing signers are Will Isom, Sue Tran, who we'd like to leave Sue on as a supplement and add them for him. Make it easier for staff to get signatures. Sometimes the absence of two people is cumbersome, but I third signer would be helpful.
So I'm a signer up to this point anyway. Am I still on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so everybody who's an existing signer would stay on the account. You would need to stop by Lewis and Clark Day just to sign the attestation of the changes.
Are we clear on that?
Yeah, on that one. But what, why are we putting two from the top management on here?
Is there a reason not to?
Pardon?
Is there a reason not to? I guess what's the risk?
You're going to be out of town on vacation or something.
I think it's in the wording. I can understand needing a backup signer if you're not available. Even if you're just sick and you know you don't want to come in, and that's reasonable. But could the wording be fixed such that that would be an anomaly and not just a routine matter? Because two people signing could lead to a difficulty. In the past, that has led port down the wrong road, and you probably are aware of that, because with poor, at the time, it was poor management. I'm not trying to say you guys are going to do that, but it just led to one guy doing one thing, and then in isolation, the other person doing another.
Yeah, so we have controls in place for that. So it's the reason that Melanie, as our head of finance, is not an authorized signer, because she is authorized. She has access to the system. She could cut a check. And so we don't allow her to sign for a check. And so there is a separation of duties there. Mm-hmm. Whereas both Sue, Matt, and myself don't have the ability to cut a check. We don't have access to the check stock. And so there's a separation there where the person authorizing or signing is not the same person that has access to cut the check.
I think that's a satisfactory explanation of addressing your concern as far as you can't sign and write. You can't issue and sign a check.
The issue really is more so if Sue's on vacation and there's like we have deadlines every week that we have to get to the bank in order to sign like for the ILWU. And sometimes on those days I'll have meetings all morning and I'll have to, if Sue's not available, I have to cut out. Whereas by having a third person, it kind of helps us with backup if we can't get there. If I'm gone, it tends to be a little easier because Sue tends to be here in the office. And so she can run over to the bank, but it's more so when she's out. Sometimes I can't make it to the bank in the morning by the time I think it's like a noon or a 1 o'clock deadline in order to get the thing processed.
Yeah. It's 1 o'clock, but they always say noon.
Yeah.
Is there a motion on the table? Would somebody like to make a motion, please? I'll
make a motion. Move to update authorized check signers at Lewis and Clark Bank by removing Frank Stance and adding Commissioners Thaddeus Fickle and Deputy Director Matt McGraw.
Is there a second? Second. We have a motion and a second. Are there any other additional questions or comments for staff? Do you have anything to add, the Finance Director? Melanie, you think this is appropriate and responsible and people are expressing their concerns?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we're always happy to talk through the process. We do have control in place, but it's appropriate to ask about them. So thank you. And I apologize, Commissioner Fickle, for spelling your name. Thank you.
Okay, we have all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, Thank you. Moving on with commission comments, Commissioner Campbell.
Yeah. What happened to our new gangway?
What happened to the new gangway?
Yeah.
The gangway is going for repairs, so and just some slight modifications, because the way that it is constructed, the gunwale eyes were locking in to the ship's hatch, and so it would stick. So they're just, it's being modified, so we don't have the difficulty mounting the thing to the
back on garden.
Don't know yet. We're getting it engineered right now.
It was an operator error.
No, it was not.
The operators of the train have an updated license.
Yes.
Everybody gets on it.
They are required to do it every year. Yep.
Required. No. That's all I ask.
You want to talk about the fly-in or whatever you guys went to?
Pardon?
You're flying at the airport or whatever that was? You want to talk about that? No?
Oh, yeah. We had the antique airplane show up yesterday, and what there was of them, there's about 25, 26 planes show up. We fed them lunch and everything, had a good visit with everybody. They were on their way to Hood River spend another night. So it was a good PR thing. The word gets around, you know, they went and looked at the gas pump and said, wow, you know, this, we can afford to fly down here for this. Well, anyway, the gas is cheaper here than it is anywhere in this area except Chehalis, but that's kind of another way they can go to the rent time. That's all I have.
Thank you.
You bet.
Commissioner Stevens.
Well, you stole my thunder.
I attended the antique airplane event as well. I agree with Commissioner Campbell. Probably did some good for the port, certainly the airport. People got familiar with it. They liked what they saw. They were happy people. We did cater to them, had everything ready. The airport looked good. The FOB modifications, in a sense, paid for themselves. It looked real nice. And Chris was doing a really good job. I think it'll pay some dividends. People will come back. I want to say that it would have been looked really good. It would have been 100% if we had an airport manager. And I'll let it go with that. You know, somebody to step up and say, welcome everybody and so forth. That was not there. Additionally, I did attend the memorial at the fairgrounds last Friday for John Leland. It was his soul. That place was packed, the display hall. Temperature was about 80 degrees in there. But there were 2,000 people crammed in there to say their farewells. It was a good program. So I know Commissioner Campbell was there also. We did show support to the England Marine and to the family. That's all I have to report.
Commissioner Fickell?
Well, I was going to talk about the antique airplanes.
You certainly can.
Sorry. I had friends visiting, and we were able to go out there and stroll around and just kind of poke around and talk to the people and look at them. But maybe my other comment is mostly about the airport. That, like you said, Commissioner Stevens, I believe, the fuel. Who talked about fuel prices? Was that you?
Campbell. Commissioner Campbell.
I had three flights today, three students, and I'm flying from 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock. And during that time, there was at least six airplanes that came from out of town, pulled up there, got fuel. Several of them went and got the crew car, went into town and got something to eat or something like that. Two of them doubled up on the crew car because we've only got one crew car. There's two groups of people that wanted it. So people come when it's a nice day, the airplanes come from a long ways away to get our fuel, our fresh air. And I'm really proud to be part of this airport. That's all I've got.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Commissioner Hill.
Executive Director Will, you might talk about this, but I have a question. I received a text message from Henry Balanceifer offering some sort of path forward on the mitigation stuff. Are you going to talk about that maybe?
I can talk about it, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Just an observation. I know that we talked about that we have an electric car charging station by Rivian, and I did see two Rivians there today, and I saw a car there last week. I wasn't sure if anyone was using it, but I think it is being used, so that's good to see. The executive director, I'll let you make your report, please.
Thank you. So on the City of Warrenton mitigation issue, we have made some progress. I appreciate the City of Warrenton's willingness to kind of wipe the slate clean and figure out a way to get this to the finish line. In particular, there's a few folks that are assisting in this process that I want to shout out. One of them is former Senator Betsy Johnson. I just talked to her probably about an hour ago. And she's been kind of working hard behind the scenes to push this thing forward, as well as Melanie Olson from Business Oregon, who I know has met directly with Mayor Balanceifer, which, you know, now that we have pending applications, port commissioners and staff are no longer able to contact City of Warrenton decision makers on this. Nate Stice from the governor's office has been involved, and then Don Boone from Clatsop County. And so we've been last couple of weeks meeting weekly to talk about progress. And so in Melanie working closely with Mayor Balanceifer, I do think we have kind of a tentative plan to move forward. We're tentatively actually planned to be on the City of Warrenton Planning Commission agenda on August 14th. In the meantime, we are working on a few things in preparation for that meeting. One of them is a kind of a real broad development plan that would take the place of the 1981 Crest Agreement. And so I'm getting more optimistic that we can get this thing done. Obviously, the big thing for the port is the timing of all this, that the clock is ticking. And so additionally, we have been working on the other side, on the grant side of things, of looking at a potential extension just because of the time that it's taking to get the permitting in place. And so I'm hopeful here in the next month or two that we can get this thing going, get an approval, so that this is an early hurdle that we can clear. I was expecting several hurdles through this Tier 2 project. I didn't think it was going to come quite this early, but I think eventually we'll get there. I just had two other quick items. We had gone out to request some proposals for dredging here on the waterfront to get an idea of what that's going to cost. And so the submittal deadline was actually today at 3 o'clock. I checked in right around 3, and I think we had received 3 proposals. And so Stacy is going to be handling our bid openings here in about 5 minutes. She's going to be doing that. And I think some of the folks, I don't know if they were going to come in person. I know at least one had requested to log in via Zoom. And so that'll give us kind of an idea of where we're at numbers wise to develop a plan for how we're going to handle that. And then I think we've finally set a date. It got moved once, but our annual boatyard barbecue is going to be Friday, August 8th. And so commissioners are invited. Tenants of the boatyard are invited. That's a Friday. So we'll have that barbecue in the afternoon. So if you would like to attend, that'll be Friday, August 8th. So that's all I had.
Quick question. Have there been any bites on the existing bridge auction or sale and the support vote?
I haven't asked Joe on that.
Is there any vote?
No, it's an advertised.
Go get it right after this meeting.
Grudge, but the other bulb is very functional.
Ah,
yeah.
You knew about a disposal place down in New Orleans. That's not the only place in Fagan.
Any other additional questions?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Stevens.
With regard to Warrington, do we still have two proposals pending?
We have two applications pending.
Correct. Okay, good, good. All right. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just share the upcoming meeting dates are August 5th and the work session on August 19th. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and the meeting is adjourned.